Hey, following was at the Baltimore meeting, the third Sunday in October 1976.
Turn to page 154. I'm still another heavenly king. Page 154.
Thank you. Let us turn to hymn number 69, page 69, Amazing Grace. I don't think we've been, all of the hymns that we've been singing are beautiful. They're sound in doctrine to the praise of our God. So let us turn to page 69, number 169.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretched like me. I was once lost, but now
exalt, and lift up thy great and holy name.
Well, we realize and have been made to realize so many times that were thou not a merciful and a long-suffering God, we fail to realize that we would have long since been consumed, because we know, we've been taught, that in us, that is in our flesh, there dwells no good thing. But thou hast been with us, O Lord, we feel to thank thee that even before the world began, that thou didst choose thy people in thy Son Jesus Christ, and that they should be redeemed from all their sins and their iniquities. And in the fullness of time, when it was thy will and purpose that Jesus should come into the world, he was brought here just exactly as it was announced by thy servants of old. And so we realize what a gracious, wonderful, merciful Father thou art, confessing at the same time that none of us, not a one of us, bowed now, are worthy of thy notice even. But thou hast condescended from thy high and lofty throne to come down into the hearts and thy blessed spirit, in the hearts of thy people. We realize, O Lord, that we often forget the source of all of our benefit, the source of all of our mercy. But thou knowest how frail we are, and how that we are dependent upon thee for everything in this life, and that hope of eternal life which is yet to come. Father, we come confessing our sins and begging to thee to have mercy upon us yet, and as it seems good, as far as it seems good in thy sight, that thou would continue to lead us through the further journey that we have of this life. Oh Lord, if thou art pleased, or should be pleased, to withdraw thy loving kindness, we don't know. We can't even imagine what our condition would be. But when thou didst bring us to see ourselves as we are in our flesh, then it wasn't long before thou didst give us a hope of eternal life. And for these things, O Lord, we will praise and adore and exalt thy great and holy name, because thou art all worthy of all praise, honor, and glory. We would ask you, therefore, to look upon this little congregation this morning, that thou art pleased to pour out thy spirit in our hearts and take us away from the vain and perishing foolish things of this life for a short while, that we might be of thy spirit enabled to worship thee in spirit and in truth, and of thy spirit to pray unto thee as thy will be thine. Lord, we pray not only for these over here this morning, but we pray for Zion everywhere, because that Zion composes all of thy children that thou didst choose in Christ before the world began. And they need thy grace, and we realize, and they realize, they need thy grace as much as we. So we pray thee, for Jesus' sake, to remember them and us. Be with us, therefore, O Lord, in the further journey of this life, choosing our changes for us, and above all, if it seems good to thee, to give each one of us patience in the midst of our trials and troubles and sorrows, that we might with patience run the remainder of our race that is set before us, because we need thee, Lord, to lead and guide and direct us every step of the way. Be with us, therefore, O Father, today and in the days to come. Give us the love and the fellowship of thy people, and enable each one of us to walk circumspectly so that we may remain in the love and the fellowship of thy people. Lord, what a gracious God thou art. May thy name have all the praise and the honor and the glory, we beg for Jesus' sake. Amen. Sister Wood has reminded me recently, also this morning, that today, 60 years ago, we were baptized into the fellowship of the Lord's people. And I thought, as we were singing Amazing Grace, what amazing grace it has been that brought us and you, who have likewise been brought out of darkness and into the marvelous light, and given us the hope of eternal life. Surely we realize that it is amazing grace, how sweet the sound, and save a wretch like me. I once was lost and now I'm found, was blind and now I see. We thank our Father as best we know how to thank Him. As far as I know, as far as I'm aware of, He has kept us in the love of our brethren and made us to realize that it is not by anything that we are or anything we have or can do, but by His loving kindness that He has so seen fit to teach us and to make us humble. We have nothing of our own to boast of. And though sometimes the flesh would, if it were possible, get the upper hand, and yet it is the Lord who has been our helper all of these days, and we are confident, since He promised never to leave nor forsake us, but would be with us all the way, even until the end of the world. We feel confident that He will go before us, choosing our changes, giving us such grace that we know we shall need each day. So we have a wonderful God to be thankful to. It's no wonder sometimes when I feel this, I want to hope sometimes the Spirit of God, no wonder I desire to exalt, praise, and to lift up the name of the only true and the living God, the sovereign ruler of the skies, the sovereign, the only sovereign God, maker and creator of all things. And so our 60 years is a long time, but it's only a short time in the eternal will and the purpose of our God. And I feel that I don't suppose there's any other than member of the church longer than we are, and yet the Lord has kept you too, kept you, and He will keep you. And we thank Him for keeping alive the meetings here in Baltimore, because it has been many years now since this church was organized, and so far as I know, the truth has been preached here and been contended for here, and God's name has been exalted and lifted up. That is our desire, because we have no one else save our God, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God, we have no one else to praise, to honor, and glory. Just those three in one. And so, my friends and brethren, we pray the Lord that He will keep us in the love and the fellowship one with another, and give us grace, which will be sufficient for our needs. Now, this morning, I believe it was this morning, I thought of some scripture that is very familiar to all of you. And it's all I have, and I don't know whether it's a text or not, because I have no way of knowing until to see what God's purpose is. I have seen a time when I felt anxious to begin to speak, and some oft times it proved that the Lord was not in the matter. And sometimes when I felt afraid, I would draw back. Sometimes I found that He was in the matter. So, what am I? What are you? A poor, undeserving creature. I'm satisfied that the Lord, who knows each one of us, He knows us so intimately, knows all about us, He knows what we need, both in nature and in grace. I feel that, and have often thought, and that if the Lord has one more in the congregation of the longing, thirsting, after hearing the Word of God, the truth as it is in Christ Jesus, that the Lord is able to take poor, unworthy, ignorant thing that I am, and by the pouring out of the Spirit to enable me to praise and bring forth praise and honor unto his name. We've been given to love the brethren these many years, to love them, because we see in them the workings of the same as we have the Holy Spirit that wrought in us more than 60 years ago. And were it not that we see the same truth manifested, believed, rejoiced in the brethren, we could not feel to have fellowship and love for them or for you. But when we hear you talking about how frail you are and poor in spirit and you speaking our language, and that gives us love, gives us fellowship, so that we desire to be together and as the Lord enables us to praise and to adore and exalt his great and holy name. This first scripture, I quoted it many, many times, but it's all is in my mind in connection with another scripture. And I'll read it and we'll see what the Lord has in store for us. Jesus was preaching this is in the fourth chapter. No, it's in the fifth chapter of John, when he was speaking to those unbelievers who denied that he was the Christ, did not believe that he was the Christ. And Jesus was very plainly spoken, not only to his own people, but to those that opposed him, who were not of the household of faith. And so he said here in the 39th verse, search the scripture. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men. But I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. That's reading from the 39th through the 42nd verse of the, if I can find the chapter, the fifth chapter, was it? Yes. Of John. As I said, he was speaking not to his people here, as I suppose that many of them were present, but he was telling these who profess to believe in Moses, but didn't know that Jesus was the fulfiller of everything that Moses stood for and prophesied of, but they did not believe that Jesus was this Messiah which they were looking for, and of which the prophets, including Moses, prophesied of. And so in speaking to these people who did not believe that he was the Christ at all, he merely said it must have hit them pretty hard. Search the scriptures. Search them. In other words, you believe in Moses. You believe in the prophets. You believe in the Psalms. And you believe all of these things as you confess. But search the scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life. They only had a thought. They didn't have any assurance, no reason, no experience, no manifestation of the grace of God in their heart. But within the law of Moses, which they felt that they must and were ordered to believe and to practice, the laws that God gave to Moses and the Israelites. But in reading those things, they did not see the real main importance of what the prophets, including Moses, were talking about. So he said to them, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. In other words, their thought was, if we follow Moses and the prophets and literally and believe them, and we would do certain things that the Lord would bless us for us, bless us for these things or in these things, and all would be well. They did not know they had not been taught that Moses and all the prophets were speaking of Jesus. Now, we didn't know that either. We didn't know that until it was revealed to us. That is, the children of God is who we only hope we are. He says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. They testified of Jesus. So wonderfully testified of him in loud language and couched in a mystery, as it were. So that it took the very Spirit of God to unlock and open up the mystery that Moses and all the others were talking about. David and all the kings and the prophets. It took more than just human knowledge, it's just reading the scriptures to open that up to them. So he said, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. I feel sometimes that it is our experience, that as we sometimes are given to read and we wonder about many things in the scripture, and sometimes we stop and ponder over, what does this mean? What is the meaning of this language here? And sometimes we pass it by without having any knowledge given us to what it really means. But haven't you sometimes, when you felt to be so helpless, hasn't it, in reading even Moses and the prophets, hasn't it been opened up to you? And you see Jesus as the very one that the prophets are talking about. Just see Jesus. And Jesus said, they testify of me. But they couldn't understand. They didn't know who me was. They didn't know who Jesus was. Because so many of them said he was an imposter, that he was not the Christ. And even Saul of Tarsus, you know, caused many people, many brethren, many, no doubt many of the Lord's people, to blaspheme because he threatened physical activity, physical death. And maybe they denied that he was the Christ. What a terrible thing it is. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Ye will not. He's saying here, ye cannot. You cannot come to me that you may have life, because you do not feel the need. You do not feel the need of a Savior. You don't know, he was saying to them, that you are dead in trespasses and in sin, because they believed that they had Abraham for their father, and that's all it took. But to believe Abraham, to believe Moses, believe all that the prophets said, that's all we had to do, is to preach Moses. And you know, Saul of Tarsus, when he was brought before the judges there, the Sanhedrin judges in the court there, and he was charged with heresy, he said that he preached nothing except what Moses and the prophets did teach. That's all he taught. They didn't know Moses and the prophets, so they thought he preached heresy. It had been given to understand and to know of whom Moses and the prophets were speaking of, when they so wonderfully testified of the grace and the mercy of God that should afterward be revealed. He said, and you will not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor from men. No man back in that day, or in this day even, really and truly, ever give honor, praise, exalt, to lift up the name of their God, who had not been brought to see themselves as vile, hell-deserving sinners, who have not had the presence of the Spirit of God to lift them up, as it were, out of such vast darkness that the flesh is in, and to see themselves as sinners above measure. Because it is not possible. God has so fixed, it's not possible that they who are dead in trespasses and in sin can enliven themselves or awake themselves to the knowledge of what sinners we are, because we are of the Adam race. But The Lord is pleased to do that. He is the only one who can do it. And so he said to these people, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. And he will not come to me that he might have life. I receive not honor from men. No men. He's talking about unregenerated men back there in their day. I receive not honor from men, not from these who are still in darkness today. God doesn't receive honor, praise, glory. God is not exalted in reality. Though men may talk about what a sovereign God he is, and yet, you know, oft times before they finish talking, they're telling what a weak God he is. What he needs, he's wanting, he's imploring, he's begging men and women to believe and to receive these things that that men say he's offered to them. But my brother, they get off on the wrong track. Because first of all, they have never been taught how helpless they are in these things, how far off they are, far away from these things they are in their flesh. So no wonder they can't believe. No wonder they can't accept Jesus Christ and say that he is the Christ. No wonder they can't see that God and confess that God is a sovereign ruler in the skies, that all things are under his command, that he works his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And that's what Jesus was preaching. That's what the apostles preached. But it was because that Jesus was the very one that the Father sent here into the world, and he preached just what the Father sent him here to preach. I can of myself do nothing, he said, but I hear my Father say, or some such language as that, that's which I do. And so this is chapter of John. But now I want to go over to another scripture which is telling about the other people, that is the Lord's people. We leave those people there that were dependent and even denying Moses and the things that Moses taught. But now we go over to another place here in the Acts of the Apostles, in the 17th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. And the apostles were preaching. Paul and Silas were preaching, and they came to Berea at night. They were preaching Jesus and him crucified. That's all they had to preach, and all the things in connection with them as the Holy Ghost gave them utterance. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogues of the Jews. They had to hide out sometimes, you know. When Paul went to Damascus, right after that remarkable experience of the Lord revealing to him all the things that he revealed to him, and he was sent to Damascus there to preach the gospel of the Son of God. And those who had been taught of the Spirit of God, those brethren, those Jews who were in the election of grace, because that's where the very beginning of their belief in these things began, in the election of grace. He preached to them the truth. He preached to them the things that he had been taught. And that wonderful occurrence, that wonderful experience that he had on the outskirts of Damascus. But the whole town of Damascus rose up against Paul because he was preaching Christ as the Son of God, and they didn't believe it. And it got rather boisterous, so that you remember that he wanted to get away from Damascus to go out to Jerusalem, I think it was. And they had to let him, or they did let him down by the wall in a basket. So he escaped. He escaped from these who would have persecuted him or put him to death, all because he was preaching Jesus. And they didn't believe a word of it. They didn't believe that Jesus was the Christ. They didn't believe that he was the Son of God. They didn't believe that he was the one that Moses and all the prophets were talking about. They were darkened, their eyes were were darkened. All of these truths was withheld from them. Now, the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Well, they didn't hesitate, in spite of all the trouble that they were having, all the trouble that was thrown their way, imprisonment and stonings and all of these things. They still went to the synagogue where the Lord's people were. And so there in Berea, who coming further went into the synagogue of the Jews. And you know what they preached, don't you? They preached Jesus. They preached Jesus as the Son of God. That this is the very one that they crucified and slew and put him upon the cross. He was slain there upon the cross. But this is the very Jesus, because God brought him forth from the dead. That's what Paul and these brethren preached, that he died and rose again, because they knew, they had read, it was enforced by the Spirit of God in their heart, that this, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And so that's what they preached. That's what had been revealed to Saul of Tarsus, or Paul the Apostle, revealed to him that this Jesus was the Christ, and that's what he preached, in spite of all the threats of bodily harm that these ignorant Jews threatened against him. But he said, the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now, here is a remarkable thing, which is the result of the grace of God, because it could not come from any other source. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received a word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scripture daily whether those things were so. What a contrast, what a difference. That Jesus said to them, search the Scripture, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And there they to testify unto me. These were more noble, Berea, the brethren at Berea. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. You remember when you were troubled about your condition as being a sinner, a dead, lost sinner, and these things began to be opened up to you, how that you received these things in the sense in which he's talking about in readiness of mind. There's nothing in the light of these revelations that God gave to you by his Spirit. There's nothing in you that caused you to doubt that Jesus was the Christ. But everything that you were given to believe, that you were turned around from being dead in trespasses and in sins, that you brought into the working of the Spirit of God in your heart, so that they received with all readiness of mind, and search the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Have you ever searched the Scriptures trying to find out whether you could find anything in the Scriptures of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that applied to your case? I feel sure that we have all searched those things, searched them out, tried to find out, is it really true that the Lord condescended many years ago and came down to me, he sent forth his Spirit into our hearts, and brought us out of darkness into the marvelous light of the Son of God. Therefore, he said here, they search the Scripture daily. Well, that's something that I feel like to, that so often I don't. And yet sometimes I do. I search the Scriptures whenever I have an opportunity. It is always, I don't have a set time. I couldn't say that I'm going to read a chapter in the Bible every night before I go to bed. I think I have thought of that sometimes, but it never occurred to me to do it. I believe, therefore, my brethren, that we must have the Spirit of God in our hearts to waken us to search the Scripture, whether these things are so or not. And so it is because of the fact that we have been brought to see ourselves as a vile sinner, hell deserving. I can't get away from using that word, hell deserving sinner, to search the scriptures. And haven't you seen sometimes when you've been reading Saul of Tarsus when he was at Damascus? And Saul said, "Who art thou, Lord?" Such amazing difference between Saul in his flesh and Saul when the Spirit of God would have been appeared to him. "Who art thou, Lord? What wilt thou have me to do?" Therefore many believe, and they search the scripture daily, whether those things were so. The Spirit of God was given unto them, so that their main occupation, might we might say, was to search the scriptures daily to see if this man that the Jews crucified, and who is reported to have been raised from the dead, is he the Christ? Is this what the prophets and Moses and all the prophets talked about? And when they come to be brought to see Jesus Christ as their Redeemer, they know, they believe, and they search the scriptures daily to find out more and more, if God is pleased to reveal it to them, more and more of these wonderful and glorious things. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached by Paul in Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. They were not satisfied to let Saul and Tarsus, Saul and those that were with him, go on to Berea and go on to preach the gospel. Their hatred of Jesus, their ignorance of Jesus, ignorance of everything that Moses and the prophets were talking about, prophesying, preaching that they should come. And yet these very zealots who first professed to believe that God was God and powerful, all powerful, and yet they wanted to put down this thing that was manifested to them, Jesus as the Son of God. And so everywhere that the apostle went, everywhere that those brethren, those disciples went preaching Jesus, they met with opposition. And I'll tell you, my brethren, today, if the truth were known, and sometimes it's been made manifest, that when one stands before a public congregation and preaches Jesus as the only name under heaven among men whereby we must be saved, and preaches Jesus as the Son of God, in whom the Father chose his people before the world began, they won't have that, because the Spirit of God has never opened up their heart to understand that God chose his people before the world began. Now, I see sometimes people advertising, "We're fundamental Baptists." Yes, we're fundamentalists. But I don't know what they understand of being fundamental. But I'll guarantee that when they're talking about being fundamentalists, they don't say a thing in the world about election of grace. No, they wouldn't say that. They don't know anything about it. And I don't believe we could be a fundamentalist and believing and preaching the truth as it is in Christ unless we believe that God chose his people before the world began. And that is a better foundation of all the doctrine here, shall we say, because God chose his people in his Christ Jesus before the world began, and not only chose his people, but he also sends forth in the proper time, after the ages roll around, and from now back ages and ages ago, he sends forth that Spirit, his own Spirit, into the hearts of each one of those that he chose before the world began. He sends forth that Spirit into the heart and confirms them by bringing them out of darkness into the marvelous light of the Son of God, and causing that they're born of the Spirit of God. And it is not until they're born of that Spirit, except a man, Jesus said, you know, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So it is only after that the Lord's people are born of the Spirit that they believe. There are other people, many people. I want to let those everybody alone. I have no objection in at all, not a bit of objection in the world to what other people believe. But I can't stand by my brethren and say amen to something that I know that is contrary to the doctrine of God our Savior. It just won't do. Because I believe that God is a sovereign over all times, worlds, and events. That I am in his hands and you're in his hands. He chooses our changes for us and gives us grace each moment, every day, that is sufficient for our needs. And so is it any wonder, therefore, that they were more honorable than Berea, those brethren were more honorable than the Thessalonian brethren. For they searched the scriptures daily whether these things are so. Brethren, friends, what a gracious God we have. He's laid it down here for us. And yet unless there is an opening up, unless there is a revelation, we cannot understand it. Without controversy, the apostle wrote, great is a mystery of godliness. Without controversy, God was manifest in the flesh. Believed on in the world, seen of angels, received up into glory. That's a mystery. But when it is revealed in the hearts, then the mystery just fades away. And we believe, because the Spirit teaches his people. We believe that Jesus was the Christ. We believe that Jesus was the God manifest in the flesh. So there we are, brethren. We're not ashamed of it. We're glad of it because there have been certain things that we said more than 60 years ago that brought us to see ourselves what we were, gave us hope of eternal life, and the love and the fellowship of the Lord's people. That's the most wonderful gift I can say, believe to be true. Most wonderful gift that any of us can have is the love and the fellowship of the Lord's people. May he be with you. Keep you all the remaining days here in the world, because he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lo, I am with thee all the way, even unto the end of the world. May God be with you.
If no one else has a song in mind, let's turn to page 111. Now this seems to be very often my favorite hymn, because I feel that I have experienced some, at least some of the things that it contains, because sometimes they like surprises, the Christian body said. It is the Lord that rises with healing in his living. And comfort of the fire, he grants a stormy day in his season of clear shine to cheer the country day. In holy contemplation, we sweetly then pursue the peace of God's salvation and find it every need. Set free from current sorrow, we cheerfully can say, being left the unknown morrow, bring with it for the next. Let us rise and sing, Lord of God, our Savior, and our Holy Lord, and set the night.
Sometimes the light. Have a look, Lord.